Coming up on Life is a Festival.
Because I like music a lot. Since I was very young, I was just dancing and feeling these new rhythms. I was the only one listening to pop music that it wasn't even a thing in my town. And I was just singing the songs in English, and I saw that could be something I could learn. So I learned English through music. So that's something I will like always remember, because that was my channel. Like, and then I found myself visioning that I could put this ancestral knowledge and medicine and music into a modern beat and connect those words. And not only the words, it's like generations have more access to pass the message, you know? Like, just put it out there. Everybody can feel a beat.
Yeah.
So it's fun. It's nice. For me, it's a very recreative, meditative way to put out light, to put an intention, happiness, joy, and a message.
My name is Eamon Armstrong, and this is Life is a Festival. This podcast is a celebration of thinkers and leaders who live their lives with the open-hearted, experimental joy of a festival. Each week, we converse in complete openness, in an ongoing quest to find those boundaries in our being and melt them into lofty horizons. Life is a festival, only to the wise. Hello, my fellow travelers. Welcome back to Life is a Festival. At times like these, when our leaders can't come together for solutions and the world seems chaotic and frankly a bit dreary, it's so inspiring to hear the youthful resilience, enthusiasm, and joy of someone who is living their life with the fire of change and the joy of a festival. A couple weeks ago in Ibiza, I met a remarkable young woman, Chabeli Chain. Chabeli is an indigenous rights activist and DJ from the Venezuelan Amazon, a place from which she is in fact a political refugee. Over the course of the dinner, she began to share her story, and I knew that I had to interview her for this program and share her message and her light with all of you. This is in fact her first ever interview, and English is not her first language, so you're going to have to pay a bit of attention to glean all of the little nuggets of wisdom from both her life and also her perspective on life. On the show, we discuss what it was like to grow up in the Amazon and her people's use of yopo, which is a visionary snuff, not as well known as, say, ayahuasca, for example, but containing DMT, bufotenin, and 5-MeO-DMT, quite the cocktail. We talk about what it was like to become a political refugee as the result of an Instagram post and her journey, first from Venezuela to Panama, then Mexico, then Milan, and finally Ibiza, where she now makes her home. Chabeli talks about her passion for music and indigenous rights advocacy and how those weave together in her work and in her life. And then finally, we review Chabeli's daily practices and how she maintains her fire and enthusiasm and the delight which beams through this entire interview. Chabeli is a DJ, a model, an indigenous advocate. She is the indigenous rights advisor for Global Alliance for Sustainable Planet and the author of Increasing Resilience Through Education, Inclusion, and Cultural Preservation. And as I said, this is her first interview and she did a marvelous job. So here is Chabeli Chain.
Do you pronounce your name Chabeli or Chaibeli?
Chabeli.
Chabeli.
Yes.
Chabeli. Nice. What's your last name, Chabeli?
Chain.
Chain?
It's like chain, but the right pronunciation is chain.
And as your DJ name, it looks like it's Chabeli Chain, but it's not chain, it's chain.
Yes, it's just Chabeli.
Chabeli. Chabeli. So cool. Well, today on the show, we're going to talk about your life, and I'd love for you to think about this as an opportunity to just share your wisdom at this moment in your journey, because you are very early in your career. But you've already done so much as well. So you're in this interesting place where I think you're just beginning to produce music. There's a whole trajectory there. And then there's also this previous modeling career that you've had. You're in this interesting inflection point. And so I'd love for you to consider today's conversation to be an opportunity to share like a snapshot of what it's like to be you in this moment. And that maybe in 5-10 years, you might look back and be like, oh, wow, that's so interesting. That's where I was. That's what I cared about. That's what was most important to me.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to speak a little bit of my path and how it has been to get into this point of integration of everything I have learned and application also, because there is a lot of energy, a lot of movement happening in my daily life. I am connecting all my vision that is always going towards the helping the Amazon, the place that is a reflection of the cosmos with my heart. So it's very, very meaningful. Everything I'm doing goes with that intention to, maybe it's not helping the native, but helping keeping land that will also keep the native land safe. So with music, I discovered that I could integrate many, many things in art, like a project to go into the Amazon, recording, like making a video production that speaks a little bit about the indigenous, their tradition, and of course, songs that are medicine. And in the music scene, electronic music scene, I see it, native song affecting the conscious and unconscious, but because we might not understand the language, but we will feel that power of that native singing, the song of the soul, we call it. So yeah, I will say that in 10 years, I will be seeing all my vision integrated. I was also exploring acting, because for me, making these characters changing is something that came because I consider myself multifaceted. I believe that we can all learn something if we really want to do it, and if we have a lot of intention and courage to follow that adventure of finding that, all those tools and integrate it, we will definitely have a good result, because everything that pushed to that action is love, and love is action.
Oh, I love that. Love is action, and I love the adventure part of it. You've lived quite an adventurous life. Chabeli.
Yes.
Welcome to Life is a Festival.
Thank you.
It's my honor to host you. And I invited you on the show because when you started opening up to me about your story, it was just one after the other. I was like, what? Then that happened? Like, then that happened and you did this? And for someone of 25 years of age, you've lived a lot and you've been through an awful lot. And in my view, you represent, as a DJ and then also as an Indigenous woman, this sort of voice from a certain place that isn't really heard from that much, particularly when we speak of the Venezuelan Amazon. I think that we hear a lot about the Brazilian Amazon or, you know, Peru and Ecuador, but an Indigenous woman out of Venezuela who is now just beginning to create music and DJing and sharing this message, I just really wanted to have you on the show, and I wanted to share who you are with others because I was so impressed and inspired by your journey. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you. That's the point. We live inspired, and we can also wake up the inspiration on the people, because if we live with intention, inspired by the smallest things, we're going to see the world in a different way. And I come from a place that small things, like just getting in touch with the sky, just watching the stars, are the medicine itself. Are the that moment of feeling present. From that peace, you can act and flow with the adventure of life at the end.
So as we were discussing over dinner, you told me that you spent the first 14 years of your life living in the Venezuelan Amazon. What are some aspects of your childhood in the Amazon that you miss most?
Actually, that's a great question. There is very hot, if you know, like now we are feeling the change of the climate and we're feeling more hot, but there has been like always hot, and just feeling that fire of being in the middle of the jungle, the rocks get hot, there is a lot of humidity, and you have the river that are a huge blessing for all the community native. And for me, jumping into the river every time I can is one of the most big things that I miss in the Amazon. My grandma that have been teaching me a lot, I miss the way she used to share by doing everything with the plants and the connection with the natural world. Just feeling the ground on my feet and maybe kissing the virgin soil that I used to do, like, scraping the trees, that, all these basic things I miss a lot. And that's the thing that makes me fight for that. It makes me just protect what the place that saw me grow and integrate all this type of living, because I have been observing since I was very young and the nature elements, that the elements hold the water flows to avoid an obstacle. You like can keep there and just see it in pass and you get something. The birds flying so freely, you at some moment you see them colorful and just you feel the essence of that animal flying, and just imagine that you can be that. You can connect with that freedom.
Is there another language that your people back in Venezuela speak in addition to Spanish, or within your community back home, was it mostly Spanish speaking?
It's just Spanish. Then there is the native language that we don't know. They are very different, even the context, even the way to express everything. And the sounds of the speakings are very different too. We're speaking now, for example, with the throat. They speak also with the nose. And
are there native speakers that you have access to, such that you might be able to learn at some point, or would you like to learn?
Yes. Actually, the town I'm coming from, there were always indigenous people from different communities coming to share their knowledge, to sell their artisanal jewelry and pieces and their harvest in the community, yes.
So the indigenous people of the Amazon are on more people's radar now because of ayahuasca. Ayahuasca has become this global spiritual commodity in a sense. People are having these intense experiences, and whilst there's some negative aspects to the way that that's happening, for a lot of people, they're experiencing awakening that is making them feel more connected with the land and a desire to connect more with indigenous people and indigenous ways of life. Do your people serve ayahuasca? Have you drunk ayahuasca in the context of growing up in Venezuela?
Not really. My tribe, we say they are the guardians of the medicine called Jopo. But ayahuasca wasn't really the medicine of the community of the Venezuelan Amazon. I tried ayahuasca and I reconnected with that powerful plant and medicine in Panama. But yes, in the Amazon, I only knew since I was very young, like the medicine that my tribe would serve. But I knew about ayahuasca until I was 18, living in Panama.
And Jopo, which is a medicine that not as many people are familiar with.
Yes.
Can you tell me a bit about Jopo? I'd love to learn more about that medicine.
Yes. So Jopo is a medicine made by the Piaroas, that is my lineage of tribe. It's a nut or seed. It's a seed, a native plant that they crush with a special tool, and they put the intention, the energy, and it's mostly to connect with the intuition, to feel the elements and to transcend the body. Because in that moment, in that state, we are able to feel the energy, to have more confidence in our, let's say, decisions, because the energy that we integrate inside are guided by decisions of what we want to feel. In the moment I did the medicine, my intention was to remember.
How old were you when you did Jopo?
I was 20.
And is Jopo something that has done multiple times within that lineage, or was it like an initiation? And what was the context in which you were doing it?
It was a special moment because we had it at that time. I was in Caracas doing this 1 week of cleaning and deep healing with ayahuasca. And in the last day before doing the, can be called the mezcal, this vibe of putting, feeling the heat and working.
So Temazcal, like a sweat lodge kind of environment?
Exactly, exactly. We have this at the last day. And before entering, we did Jopo, and it's like a 15 minutes effect that takes you wherever you want to put the intention on. But to get there, we need to clean the energy. And sometimes the process can be difficult because we usually hold energy, and that came with the medicine, we'll take it out. And for me, it was very peaceful to see, because I was allowing myself to be the medicine, to be the energy, to feel the dissolution. It was powerful and beautiful. It was 15 minutes, and it was like all the answers I needed to hear, because I wasn't even looking. I was kind of remembering, because I neither did it in the Venezuelan Amazon. But I was there reconnecting with the tribe, and it was amazing. It was very powerful for me.
You said it gave you answers. Do you mean like it gave you answers in terms of your path and how you wanted to live your life, or it answered maybe questions about life and death? What kind of answers did Jopo give you?
I would say that sometimes we're looking for a type of realization, right? For me, that was a moment of realization, of really being my essence, of really feel that I don't need nothing else but to be that. And with that, I refer to the fact to be present, be energy, and in that moment, we will be able to observe everything that is going on around in a very deep way, because the medicine is very strong. But to describe a little bit what was my experience, it felt like an spiral going up. And in that spiral, I was seeing all the way like in realms, the red realms, the yellow realms, and the consciousness that it will be the white and the complete nothing, right? The emptiness. But in that emptiness, like you feel the, my answer in that moment was like, I just need to allow myself to be nothing, to be everything.
Wow, that's very Zen. So you're saying that you were kind of going through a spiraling experience through these different sort of colorful realms into a place of nothingness, where you realized that that was a place of peace, that you could be whatever you wanted, you could be everything from that place of nothing. Is that?
Yes, but all of that mixed with the visual, because there is, and you have to be very present to see what is going on. Sometimes people go in a different direction because they have pain. I have to say that I have been dealing with pain, and in those red realms, I feel all the pain, all the frustration, all the frustration to not be able to control and protect something I love, for example. Mm. And I felt all of that in that moment. And then I felt the nature. I saw the trees. I felt like I was being washed by the trees in a very beautiful way. I felt a bird flying in that spiral, like the natural world, and to be connected with that. And then I felt that emptiness. Mm. That felt so peaceful. I was practically being a cloud and seeing all my group down. And all my group dealing, right? Because not everyone received the medicine. For me, it was like remembering because it's my tribe. But the people was like dealing with heavy things because the medicine brings everything out. It's medicine.
And Jopo is a shorter experience than something like ayahuasca, right? How long does it last?
15 minutes. More or less.
Yeah. So this was a very potent experience.
Yes,
from it 15 was. Minutes.
Yes, yes, yes. And you need to keep the eyes closed once you inhale it, because you inhale it. You don't, blow it into your nose, yeah, like hape. It looks like hape, but it's not. And you go see it. And you close your eyes and you feel and you try not to open, or no matter what are you feeling. But when do this type of medicine, that we don't necessarily have to do it weekly or monthly. Something you do once, twice a year. Something very powerful. If you have a deep intention to clear out of to transcend, to feel that emptiness, you know. But that's the way we need to live, in that healing state and in the present moment of communion.
Mm. You talked about this red realm as being a place of a lot of suffering. And specifically, you said not being able to protect things you love. And that is really striking to me, because I know that you are currently a political refugee.
Yes.
And from what I understand, that's because of your attempts to protect what you loved. So would you be willing to share a little bit about why you are now residing in Europe?
Yes, of course. Hopefully this can uplift people. It's always difficult for me to share in a way of being able to transcend it. But if I am in the right space, I can definitely share all the details, or very briefly, what I have been living since the moment I decided to make a pause about a river that I love, that I used to swim, that was being killed, literally with chemics and exploitation. So for me, it was something very, very important, because I knew that that was going to affect many communities that consume from that river. And I just did this post in Instagram, and I was like getting a little bit of audience because I was modeling at that time. And I saw the opportunity, if I was like putting my face out, I want to give a message also, and especially in that moment that was happening, and I saw that why not to post about something you love to see if we can protect, because I wasn't even being there. I was modeling in Panama when I saw this happening, and it was a big change that now the consequences are very big. And
it was a big change. What was going on with the river? Was it like a political change? They were allowing certain kind of exploitation of the river where hitherto they hadn't been?
Yes, exactly. They allow it illegal exploitation in a reserve.
And you posted about this on your Instagram account, which had more followers because of your modeling, and then it drew the attention of authorities in Venezuela?
Not I would not say authorities. I come from a small town. My dad has been a hard worker and manager of a supermarket. So everybody knew my dad because it was the only private market that was in the zone. The rest were the government food. So he was very well known, as well as my family and everybody there in the town. I would say everybody because I don't know how it arrived to the ears of the people, of me talking about something I love and want to protect, to the point of they put, or me putting my family in risk, because I don't know the word they put, some words that make you regret of what you've done and make you act differently because you have no option.
So you felt that you'd put your family at risk?
Yes, because these people started contacting my family and telling them that I shouldn't be doing this because I'm going to get in trouble, that my family is all going to get in trouble, that they know everything about me, about my family, and they will come if I keep doing that. So that was the moment where my family practically kicked me out of the country. And I went to Mexico. And from Mexico, I went to Italy. Just in Mexico was the place where I started to DJing, and Italy was the place that saw me grow.
Mm. You know, it's so interesting because there are other people who are models who have Instagram accounts, and it's very easy for them to talk about causes that matter to them. They could talk about a river. I mean, in fact, many talk a lot about a lot of different causes in a totally carefree way, but that wasn't the case for you. So for you writing about this river on something as simple as an Instagram post means that you are not able to be in Venezuela.
Yes. Yes, that was a very hard decision for me because I wanted to fight. I wanted to be there, work with the community. I was starting to work with producers in Costa Rica, Panama, Mexico, and I wanted to bring them to do stuff with the communities because I know the community. I know people that is always related to the work with the native and to bring value to them, to be included in the value chain, the distribution of their products and in a fair way. And I wanted to do this in Venezuela and I couldn't, because of the system doesn't let you work in that way that support the land and native.
And the political situation in Venezuela is, of course,
very delicate.
Pretty delicate, yeah. And it's very dangerous to speak out.
It's very dangerous. Even to be there, to be related, and to speak is a very, yes, it's a very exposed situation and difficult.
Do you feel exposed now that you've settled in Europe? Do you feel?
I don't. I told my family that I will do anything for the Amazon and I will find my way to do this work. But specifically talking about the situation in my countryside, all my family lives there. And everybody knows my family. So I will be easily speaking, but that means also that I can put my family on risk. Mm. And indigenous are already in risk. So then, doesn't make sense for me to just keep going to talk about that situation, specifically when the Amazon is very big and it represents the same zone and we can do things in a different way, maybe with the products of native of Colombia or Ecuador, or, you know, where the distribution of things are more open and where the importation of knowledge of cooperation can be more easy for help the community, indigenous community.
So let's continue tracking a little bit your life. So you had moved to Panama and you were a model at that time. And then when all of this happened, you were in Panama and you then went to Mexico. And that's when you started DJing. Is that an accurate timeline?
Yes. Yes.
And what is it about performing and producing music that compelled you?
Compelled?
Oh, that's not fair. See, it's my bad. I'm so used to using fancy words and I realize it's totally unfair.
My English is still there.
No, you're great. No,
sometimes you're, no. Expressing my idea can be a little.
No, you are doing great. It was foolish of me. You're like, compelled? Like, of course, Eamon. Okay. Like, come on.
Like, well, I cannot lie. I don't know the word.
No, and I didn't even need to use that word either. There's a super easy way to say what I was saying. I love that you said that. Why did you decide to start making music, to start playing music first and then start producing music?
First, because I like music a lot. Since I was very young, I was just dancing and feeling these new rhythms. I was the only one listening to pop music that it wasn't even a thing in my town. And I was just singing the songs in English, and I saw that that could be something I could learn. So I learned English through music. So that's something I will like always remember, because that was my channel. Like, and then I found myself visioning that I could put this ancestral knowledge and medicine and music into a modern beat and connect those words. And not only the words, it's like generations have more access to pass the message, you know? Like, just put it out there, everybody can feel a beat.
Yeah.
So it's fun, it's nice. For me, it's a very recreative, meditative way to put out light, to put an intention, happiness, joy, and a message that will be the result of that I am doing besides that. Because I'm also working with an organization as Indigenous Rights. So being able to go to a conference to speak with a sister from Ecuador, and she tell me, let's record a song and you put it on your music, produce, and that's something that gives you that fire to keep creating, to keep that creative space alive and to act from that. And it was difficult to find the balance with things I'm doing, but music has been very generous with me, and I see the potential there to affect the conscious and unconscious. We are medicine, and if we want to put it out, we need an audience. And there is always an audience to come to a place to feel joy, be free, heal, because at the end, dancing is healing. Sometimes we confuse escaping with healing and fun. So that's something I always like to share with the people that ask me why I don't drink alcohol. And I am not like pointing that, but I just don't do it because I don't feel it. And for me to be dancing is already, you know, my thing. It's like, that's my state. I am very in peace with that. Like, to just put a scenario where the people can feel joy, and for me to be able to express my message.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And you've now just started writing music, right? So you had been DJing for, now it's been 4 years that you've been DJing and getting some good gigs. I mean, you're here in Ibiza. Like, so it's not like, I mean, as far as a DJ is concerned, you're not doing badly here. Yeah. So, but you've just started producing music. And I've heard you say a couple of times that this is an opportunity for you to share your message. So what kind of tracks are you producing now? You've completed one so far, or do you have more than one? How is it?
I completed one that I have been released and I say that everything that I have learned, I have done alone, even writing about to be an indigenous rights advisor, for example, is something that requires a lot of reading. And to get into music is something that requires a lot of time, discipline, and a rhythm. Constantly being into music, just learning. And it took me 3 months to create that track that will match with a song that you really love, that is called I Believe in Love from Beautiful Chorus. And yes, I did that as an experience to learn and to integrate something I would like to do with voices and beats. And it's not something I'm putting out yet, because I want to explore these native rhythms and just go there and record the songs of women, men, native women, men, maybe in the Colombian Amazon, because now I cannot come back to Venezuela. That's another thing. And to connect the pieces, right? To go with a team, record, because also give the experience to the people of what's the process of creation is something that can be, I don't know, for me it's a very powerful way to bring art and an intention into the scene.
You were just saying that being a native rights activist also requires a lot of work. You said a lot of reading. Tell me about that process. So you've been... How long have you been working with this NGO?
Of course, it's called GASP, Global Alliance for a Sustainable Planet, and have different internships for that future voice of leaders that are, you know, guiding this path of change. And I have been doing it with indigenous from Colombia. My latest post was about Wayutaya, that is an organization that is helping the indigenous in the front line. So I made a whole article about it and the hope this can be a model to be replicated in all the world. It can be applicated in Africa or in,
and,
I don't know.
And what is the model?
The model is about education as a center of building resilience in the community and to be able to distribute good food for these communities that are on risk and being displaced. So it can work for a lot of indigenous communities because education is a tool that can empower the vocational experience of the communities, of the young community, indigenous community. And then it's a very powerful way to bring people together, nourish them, and give them tools to applicate in their system of distribution. It can be agriculture, it can be art. Yes, I can like send you the article.
Yes. So the way that we do it on the podcast is send me the article and it'll be in the show notes. So our listeners, hello listeners, thank you for listening. you can check out the article that Chapeli is referring to in the show notes.
Amazing. Yeah.
So you've moved to Ibiza, one of my favorite places in the world. Mm-hmm. What is it about Ibiza that feels so in alignment with your vision right now?
I think Ibiza is a place that whatever you put the intention is going to help you, because there is also people that are very attracted to this island and the abundance that is here in many ways, in the earth, in the artistic movement. It's very exciting because you are always inspired by something. Two of the things that inspire me the most is nature and music. So here is an amazing place to just constantly be involved on that. So it has been just perfect. I feel at home here for the first time in 4 years out of my home. Yeah.
Is that perhaps more because of the connection with nature or the community, or I guess maybe it's all of those things combined?
It's all of that, but in the community side is very strong also, because there is people also, let's say, vibrating in the same frequency, working themselves in the spiritual side, just trying medicinal plants and working with them. And so it has been also that. It has been just finding a family that is also in your path, like doing the same thing and connecting that to bring to the world some strong belief or learning from that side through the music or through the artistic paintings, through everything. So I feel like more than me, there is many people that also wants to do that. So connecting that to the major or macro vision or bringing tools to the world has been something that really grounded me here. And I will say that it has been because that here in Ibiza, because in Milan or Como Lake is very beautiful, but I have a very introvert time there because the community is not too much focused on that, or maybe I didn't get to meet them, but he has been just connecting with all of them. And yes, I think that the family and community side is a major part of why I decided to move to Ibiza.
So some listeners may have the perspective of Ibiza that it is a debaucherous, hedonistic party island, and that it's a bunch of rich people doing drugs. It's this Vegas of Europe. So what would you say to the people who maybe haven't experienced the Ibiza that you have connected with, who think, okay, well, that's just a party place for rich people? Has that been your experience at all? It sounds like no.
Well, it is that side, of course. That's like why the island is so well known, by that side, the party, the rich community, let's say. But I will say that if you really focus on an intention and you just bring that, it's going to itself be developed, because the people is also craving for that, like connection with the earth most at this time. So if that community of people that have the tools to do whatever they want really connect with this, which is happening, is going to be a benefit for all of us, because as I am an artist, a young artist, these resources helping me just to grow the vision. And there is many people that believe in that power of bringing art and nature together. So here is perfect for that, because if they are not there yet, they can be influenced by the people that have the commitment to do that work. And I would say that I have the commitment to do that work, and I just easily connect with the people that would like to support this vision. So that has been very helpful, because it has been very difficult for me to grow as an artist in the resources, moving here and there. And this just opened up the door and free energy to do more things. It's not the money itself, but the abundance to just develop the vision to support indigenous people, because at the end, by myself or just raising my voice is not to do so much. So the real impact is to direct that energy, that free energy, those resources to do something great for humanity, for nature, for indigenous people.
Yeah, so let's talk about your indigenous advocacy in the context of your life now. You've used the word vision a few times, and I'd like to go a little deeper on that vision and on that indigenous advocacy, particularly in this new home where, as you've pointed out, there are resources and there are people with resources who align with visions such as yours. That's been my experience there, and it sounds like yours as well. So let's get a little deeper and more specific about this vision. Paint the vision for me. What is the vision that you're trying to get these different people with resources and these different people, these different artistic collaborators? What is the vision you're getting people on board with?
The vision, wow, it has many, many ways to go. I think that by me empowering my artistic side, my voice, and just to being able to sit down and connect with all the organizations, because also the space itself is very important to develop many visions, because I can say that I could be working now in just music, but that's not the only thing that I want to work. So music has been a tool that have given me the possibility to be working and also connected to my creativity side, but also for me in an operational side to just connect with organizations has been difficult, because always moving, and with my for example, my limitation of traveling, because I was applying for this refugee in Italy, it's difficult also to just go out of there and speak about the problematic in the Amazon, because it's also limiting the security side there. But I say that if I will have the resources to go on other part of the Amazon to just collaborate with indigenous, work with the community, record, have the tools to do that, will be amazing and will be something beautiful in an artistic way to bring out to the world. But it requires support. It requires economic resources to do that. So I will say that my vision is directed to that, to be able to bring people that have the capacity, the resources, and the tools to do this type of work that is bringing awareness about the indigenous community. And also through that awareness, is going to wake up a mass to be giving to them some tools for keep protecting the forest, for example. Basic tools. It will say cleaning the water or the keeping the community, the earth and the rice. But it requires a lot more than that. In the economic side, it requires awareness. So it start for me developing my courage to be able to speak and then develop my economic side to just go there and bring all the magic and power to just empower indigenous community and knowledge that it will be helpful for everyone.
So Chipeli, part of why I wanted to interview you in the first place is actually this very intersection. So you are a talented, brilliant young woman, and I feel like you really have the capacity to build these bridges. And I'm so thrilled to hear that you've decided to stay in Ibiza. And I, you know, we were introduced through people who I know are good people, the right kinds of people to surround yourself with. So it seems like you've got a lot of support already there. And I really see you as someone who can be a major bridge. And as an artist, what ends up happening is that people fall in love with your art, they love dancing to your music, and you become symbolic for people. This happens, this is the whole rock star vibe. And if you are symbolic to people, they'll project their ideas of who you are. There's a lot of energy to hold in that space. But you do have the opportunity to channel that energy into the things that matter most to you. And in this case, what I'm hearing is it's about your indigenous advocacy work, but also especially about collaboration and bringing resources and bringing energy. And so what I'm seeing here is that you have a community like the community in Ibiza, which does have a lot of resources. They're interested in plant medicine. They are interested in the environment, but they need people to be leaders and to be symbols for them to believe in. And I can see you so early in your career, but already having accomplished so much as someone who can step into that role. Does that sound like part of the vision or sound like something that you would be willing to, a role you'd be willing to take as you grow as an artist?
Yes, that's definitely the role I'm willing to take, because at the end, it has been all about connecting the music, the art, or everything I do with the Amazon and everything I want to do that. And at the end, that enthusiasm we bring is the real party, because it makes a change, and the intention of this change is a wake-up call, a playful development of spiritual growth. And it can only come when me as an artist, for example, take responsibility for everything or the way of communicating and giving those who following me the tools for, you know, wake up their true essence, the true playful and joyful being, and just being here in this air to share and to enjoy together.
Well, and like as I've said, I feel like you're a really great individual for this exact moment. How do you, as you continue to grow your fan base, as you continue to grow your network, what tools are you using to protect yourself, to maintain your health, to maintain balance. I know that you've traveled a lot, but to keep your own energy safe so that you can create and so that you can stay in your own integrity, do you have strategies and tools in order to do that as your popularity will necessarily continue to grow?
Definitely. For me to have a good rhythm, a very strong health is very important for being able to just canalize the life force, you know, because it requires a lot of life force to being able to just break some barriers between us or between nature and us. And for example, my practice, my daily practice has been yoga, or being able to just to heat up my body a little bit to wake up and have that intensity during the whole day. So for me, it's very important to be able to do at least yoga, or one of my practices, Pilates too, since I am 14 years old, because I just saw it the first time and I was in love of how could I get my body strong to be able to do many things. And at the end, if we connect with that, we are going to realize that we are not separated with that strange inside of us to project out. So yes, it's in the morning routine or whatever time during the day, if I have a moment, I need to just get into it. Yoga is very important. Meditation once in a while is still a little bit difficult. I think my meditation is with music, but still not very related with the silence, because I have many ideas. I have many things that I canalize through yoga, and that helps me to ground a little bit that creativity and that cloud of what I need to do, what I want to ground. And yes, yoga has been an amazing tool since I have it.
A moment ago, you used the expression, the real party. What did you say? The real party is, what is the real party?
It's the enthusiasm we bring to life.
So the real party is the enthusiasm we bring to life. This comes to like what this whole podcast is about. And the whole podcast here is about life as a festival. How do we live our lives in the spirit of our best moments when we're at Burning Man, or we're at a festival somewhere in Ibiza or wherever? How do we live our lives that way? And something that I've learned is part of how we live our lives that way is with responsibility and reverence to the planet, to other people, that we can't just party for ourselves. We sort of have to party with and for others. And that's part of what I think is inspiring about you is you're modeling this enthusiasm in this play, but you're also doing very serious Indigenous advocacy work. You're also a producing creative artist. So you're doing a lot. And just for our listeners who are inspired by you and would like to live their lives more that way, in addition to your yoga practice, in addition to your daily practice, how are you creating your life like a festival?
Well, how I am creating my life as a festival? That's an amazing question, because at the end, it is like that, as the name of the podcast. Life is a festival. I think if we can bring that joy to everything we do, that's the love we are like being identified with. And the love is action. And for me, that action is the enthusiasm I bring to everything. And for me, the enthusiasm itself is the real party, as I say, because if you don't have this fire, this spark to just bring that light of joy into the life, is like, what is there the sense, right? That's why it's very important to connect everything we do to something we enjoy doing. For me, the transition of being just able to write about producer is fun, but that don't really fulfill my joy. So my balance at that moment when I started to get involved into music and to call it as a profession, was that the music bringing me joy to dance everything that I feel that is bringing me down. And that balance has been amazing for me, because that's the way I am able to do more. I think that's the main thing, being able to do everything that is on my heart. And for do that, I need to find the balance. And it's a path, it's a journey to find those tools. But if we really are aligning and putting the intention every day, I think we're going to find it. Each one of us, each one have an artist inside of us. And if it's not artist tools or attributes, we find it in another place, or in an activity, or in a hug of someone we love. But a person that, for me, like me, that is coming from the Amazon, that has been arriving to places that I didn't have an idea of why I was there, has been, for me, that meditation, that yoga, that took me on that transition to finding my tools. And I think that that's the main thing for every one of us, finding the tools and the joy of doing everything we can for manifest the heart's desire. Because we can have many things in the head that we believe that this could make us happy, but at the end, we need to sit down and breathe and really meditate on what is really in the heart that wants to be manifested. And that will break the barrier between what we can do and, yes, what we are able to do also.
Well, yeah, it seems like you just have this fire and then also these tools that allow you to have balance, and that fire then becomes joy, enthusiasm, and then that's your expression in the world. And another piece that's part of this is, of course, resilience. You are a refugee. You can't go home. Not a lot of people listening to this podcast have that experience. And yet you're full of joy and you're full of enthusiasm. So part of the lesson here that I'm hearing is also that this fire that's cultivated with your yoga, that's cultivated with your tools, this internal fire is actually burning in such a way that it's creating resilience to life's challenges and allowing you to live in this joyful way. Would you say that that's true?
Yes, definitely. It's that joy and the responsibility I take of everything I do that have brought me here. Because at the end, because we can have joy in many things, as you say, and one moment that people, for example, here in Ibiza, they like to just party and consume drugs. But at the end, that can be taken as an escape for what really joy means. It is not bad or good. It's just like, what are we taking responsibility for? We can be enjoying many things, but also connecting what we can do for community or for humanity at the end, because we are one. And if we really connect with that heartbeat, that is the same of everyone and the earth, we are going to have a good result. And I think this is the moment for everyone to just connect to that heartbeat, to do many things far behind us. And that joy can be shared with everyone.
I love that. I love that. Such a beautiful invitation. And I think for those listening, we both would like to emulate you and cultivate that in our own lives. But we also, I can assure you that my listeners here on the show, our listeners today, and myself included, are interested in supporting you. So how do we support you, Chabeli? Where can we follow you? What ways can we help this magical career of yours blossom in Ibiza and beyond?
Wow. Well, I think that everybody that hear me or connects with my music or my vision will really find the way to support me and the vision and everything I have in my heart. My social medias are there, and I share everything there. But I think that my work with the organization, I'm developing certain articles that go directly to specific ways to help indigenous communities. I think that just by following me and keeping on track is the way to say it, or tune it on everything I'm doing, will just itself develop the way to support me and support indigenous community. I will not say something right away to just come here and support GoFundMe, but because that's not the point. The point is to uplift people, and the people uplift them. If the people is uplift, they are going to find a way to support me. And everything is there. is support an indigenous sister or brother is the same to support me in my vision, because at the end, that's everything that I am doing is connected to the vision of supporting indigenous, bringing awareness about the earth and the changes we have to face together. So just by a call up to being connected to the changes of the earth and the tools we can implement in these moments is the real call. And by following me and my vision and being able to develop that support is going to do itself all the work.
Specifically, where should we be following you on? Is Instagram the best? Your SoundCloud? Like, if we were to send people one place that they're going to be most connected with all your initiatives, with your music, with your advocacy work, as you said, for people to track your journey, to follow what you're doing, where's that place so that people who are listening right now are on their phones and can be like, I want to follow this woman. I want to know more about her. Where do they go?
Yes, for sure. My Instagram is good. I do everything through there. It's Chabeli Chain, Chabeli Chain, and my SoundCloud, the same, Chabeli Chain. There you can follow my music and everything I'm doing. I share every article I publish with my organization in my Instagram. So yes, the organization also is very important to call up. It's called Global Alliance for a Sustainable Planet, GASP. We can also leave it in the description of the podcast.
Yeah, we'll have GASP in the show notes as well. Wow. Well, it's very nice to connect with you again. It's so interesting. This is like exactly why I wanted to do a podcast with you, is you have a very infectious, joyful energy. I find that when I'm talking to you, it makes me feel hopeful. And I think that a lot of people who are interested in advocacy work in various ways can feel a little worn down by the enormity of the world's grief. We just had COP26, and there's a very discouraging response to the inaction of our leaders. But I find when I talk to you, I feel optimistic. I feel joyful. I feel in your smile and in the levity in which you speak, and with your own optimism, courage, and passion in your vision, I find myself uplifted. And I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to share that upliftment with our audience here today on this show.
Yes, that's the point. That's beautiful to hear. That's the intention of everything I'm doing, and I'm just happy to be here. Thank you for having me. It has been just amazing. You are a very great interview.
Yes. Well, you know, we all have our part to play.
Yes. And to be able to just share my story and the way you develop the question has been very helpful. And thank you. Thank you for that, to guide me to share my story and the ways to support my vision and the vision that is for all at the end.
Well, my hope is that this podcast is one small way that you are supported and amplified amongst many. And so, yeah, it's an honor, and it brings a lot of joy to me too. So is there anything that you wanted to talk about today, or anything that's alive for you that we might have missed? Or do you feel complete?
I do feel complete. I am working in things in the side, but I will just keep working on them and announce them through my social media. So it will be great for the listeners to keep a tune on that, because I am doing more work now that I am able to travel more. And yes, I am just going to keep bringing this fire and joy to everything I do. And everybody's going to feel connected to that, to following my path. I believe that.
Beautiful. Well, Chabeli, thank you so much for being with us today on Life is a Festival. We are all going to be interested in your path and going to be passionately watching you grow. As I've mentioned before, you're still very much in the beginning stages of this marvelous career of yours. So it's going to be so exciting to see what happens next. And it's great to be connected with you personally, and it's great to have had you on the program today.
Thank you. You're right. This is, for example, my first interview. So I hope you guys have a good feedback, because I am learning also. And yes, to be able to share my vision with clarity is a good step.
I love that this was your first interview. It doesn't seem like it. Seems like you're pretty good at getting interviewed. Thank you again.
Thank you for joining us for Life is a Festival. If you like the show, you can support it by sharing it with your friends, following it on Spotify, or reviewing it on iTunes. If you'd like to get more involved, you can join our Facebook group, Life is a Festival, where we talk about the show and you can suggest new guests. If you really liked the show and maybe want a little bit more, visit my digital tip jar at patreon.com/lifeisafestival.com. Whatever you do, I hope today's podcast helped you make your life just a little bit more like a festival, and I'll see you on the dance floor.